Oh, Lord, you have to add that. Well, listen. There is a lot going on. I'm excited about it. But we do need some help in just the little extra on the offering. We want to get those ponchos because it's been a rainy season. Because they said it's the El Nino effect. El Nino, that's a big old kid. Needs to be whooped. That's a lot of water. But listen, it's been cold. We've seen other ministries are out there. They're feeding. Some ministries that we have connect with, they're out there. They're feeding. They're clothing as well. Nothing is in vain. The Bible says the poor you will always have among you. Always. He didn't say that you're not going to continue to help. He's just saying, but while I'm here, spend time with me. Amen. Amen. Well, we have to take Christ to them. Amen. Amen. So that's been on our heart to continue doing outreach in the inner city. And we're just going to continue to allow God to do what he wants to do with the ministry and how the direction we're going to go in. Amen. If you would stand real quick to your feet, please, and grab your Bibles. I want to get into this message, and I believe this will be a blessing to you. It's been in my heart. We said that 2016 was going to be the year of the fruitfulness of God. Many have said the fruition, things will be coming to pass, things that have been held up are going to be loosed. And then on Wednesday night, the Lord started telling us we need to get things right before we can get things released. Amen. We need to see that we need to make some things that we've been sweeping under the rug. Okay, he named some of those things we are sweeping under the rugs. If you weren't here on Wednesday, I'll just remind you some of those things have names. And some of them are human names. That shouldn't be there. Just saying. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, in 1 Samuel 14:24. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. 1 Samuel 14:24 through 30. Go ahead and turn off the front lights. Only front lights. Hold on the recording. Don't record yet. 1 Samuel 14. So ready. All right. Can I get the gentleman in the back? Go ahead and mute the drum mic, please. The drum mic. Drum mic. Mute it. All right. I see you guys fanning yourself because the Holy Ghost is moving, right? Yeah, Holy Ghost moving. Holy Ghost. Yeah, y'all looking at me like, no, it's just hot in here, Pastor. Don't you love this cold weather? Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's caldo kind of weather, you know. You get that caldo. You got to put that meat in there, that soup bone meat, and you got to put that thing to boil real high, and it takes some time to tenderize that meat. So you think you can't have caldo to be rushed. Lord. Some things take some time, don't they? Some things take some time before you see your manifestation. Yeah. Some things just don't happen just because you declare it. Some things just don't happen because a prophet said so. You have a responsibility too. What? What you said? I got to do what? Yeah. You got to work this thing. Jesus didn't say, all right, it's going to fall from heaven. He didn't say it was going to fall in your tent. He said, get out your tent and go gather. We got some things we got to do. Amen. So when I began reading this word, I said, Lord, I know that in 2016, it's going to be good. And we were watching TV and, you know, usually right about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock hour, they show all these kind of food commercials. Yeah, they do. That devil is a liar. Because it's about that time you start getting the munchies. You got a sweet tooth. Right? And you want something sweet to eat. I walked into the pantry and I said, give me something sweet to eat, Lord. Manifest something for me. I looked down every single. I said, Lord, you didn't hear my cry this morning. I said, I want something sweet to eat. And then I closed my eyes and I began to just press through with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want something sweet to eat right now. And I opened my eyes and to the right on the shelf that was kind of tucked away, there was this little heart. And I looked at that thing. I said, Lord, you love me. This happened last night. And I looked at that heart. I I said, Lord, look at what the Lord gave me. He gave me a heart. Look at that. Suck it out. And I looked at that heart. I was getting closer and closer. I said, Lord, you've answered me. I go and I grab that thing. And I start opening the package. And it's a pink heart. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's perfectly shaped. And I looked, I lifted up before the Lord, and I gave thanks. I thank you for the sweet, sweet, oh, my mouth, Lord, I just craving the sweet. And I bit right out. Watch. Oh, it was filled with something inside. It was. It had. I feel the anointing. If you could see my goosebumps, it had that cream filling. Oh Lord! I said, Lord, you didn't just provide me with something sweet. You gave me something in the middle of the sweet. Nice and creamy. I said, Lord, why'd you do that? He says, you have victory, son. I got victory. Over this little, I got victory. He says, you see, the problem is I give my people the spoils of their victory. But not all of them know how to enjoy it. They take it for granted. I said, not me. He says, is it good? I said, Lionel, is it good? There was two hearts in one package. Y'all think I'm lying to you? My honey went and bought these things. Have you seen them? From H-E-B. Did you buy them? Okay, and it has hearts, right? In one pack, I think they're from Little Debbie's, and there's two hearts in one package. Watch. Oh, now you got it. Now you got it. Watch this. But this is what I heard the Lord say. You see, I get prophetic on food. Y'all look at me. Look, Katrina, getting ready to write. This is going to be very deep. This is going to be deep. I said, Lord, there's two of them here. He says, you get double for your trouble. Amen. What you ask for, I give you more than what you ask. Yes, Lord. I'm standing there in the pantry. If y'all don't know how my pantry is, here's the pantry. It's with washer and dryer, so my dogs are in there. So this is at night. I'm having a Holy Ghost throwdown. Get caught by shot out of our boat sick. I get to the second heart. Starting to get a sugar rush. Hey. I said, Lord, what are you telling me about this? He said, you see, everything you desire, you have to taste and see that I am good. But you can't taste and see that I'm good unless you open your mouth. You ain't getting all this off of this heart? That's profound, Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, what do you mean see? He said, observe. Observe that I've been good in your life. Look over the past victories that I've given you. And reflect back on how I brought you through. I ate that second one, and I went and go sat down. I'm going to watch the news for the Powerball numbers. You know you did it, too. Don't be looking at me like, oh, you bought lotto tickets. Shame on you, Pastor. Really? 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 How many are you going to buy them now, everybody in the whole church? Highest number, right? A billion. What? Oh, look at y'all. See, now look at y'all. Y'all know the amount? 1.3 billion, the highest ever. So I had to go sit down. And I started writing the numbers. I didn't get not one number out of the tickets I bought. Not one number. Look. My wife says. She says, look, we need to go to different locations to buy a ticket. Look, y'all driving to different locations just to go get it, right? Watch this. Because your odds are better. So drive around just maybe. So I sit down, I write down the numbers, and Inez is looking. She goes, we didn't, I said, we didn't got nothing. One number, not even one number. It went $4 right there. Shoo. $4. $4 would have bought me a couple of bean and cheese tacos at Mama Margie's. That'd have been good. See, I would have got my spoils then. See, quickly I go to, we're going to spend money like that. I ain't shoo. So I said, I'm going upstairs. I'm done. So, go upstairs. So I done ate that other heart and it was good. So I start getting ready into my training mode. You know, I start training myself in the word and train myself before the Lord so I can be approved by before God and before men. So I start reading and he says, I want you to see something, sir. I give victory to my people, but it's always people that get in the way of the spoils. So, okay, God, now I'm ready to listen. I've got my sugar rush, so I'm ready to stay up. So I started reading this, and I want you to put your attention here real quick on verse 24. It says, and the men of Israel were distressed that day. That day. Does somebody have verse 23? Who has verse 23? You have it, Liz? Real loud, what does it say? Okay. What day? The Lord did what? Uh-huh. Israel? That day. Okay, continue reading. All right. So that day that the Lord gave Israel victory, was that different from verse 24?
No.
Same day. Same day. That day. Same victory. How can God bring you deliverance and victory, but in that same day of your deliverance and victory, you're distressed? The Lord gave victory. The Lord gave victory to these folks on that day. Then you just go down to the next verse, 24. And then it says, the men of Israel were distressed that day. Here's the reason. For Saul had adjured the people saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until it be evening. And watch this, I be avenged on my enemies. Oh, you see how man gets in the way? Mm-hmm. If God has delivered you and given you victory, you should be rejoicing. But if you're not rejoicing because someone has issued a curse, there ain't nobody going to eat. Charlie, that's why I wasn't there with him. Shoot, I'm going to eat good. All right. Well, I would have been cursed. Watch this. Now, y'all know who this is, right? It's King Saul. You know King Saul? He had a son, Jonathan. Jonathan wasn't around when his daddy made a foolish decree. So what did Jonathan do? He's walking into the woods just like everybody else. Watch this. I find it very interesting that there was honey on the floor. There was honey on the floor. But the honey does not come from the floor. You ain't going to see bees make honey on the floor. It says that it fell to the ground as they were walking into the woods. See, we're leaving a victory in the plain, because you don't have battles in the woods. You have battles in the open plains. And they should have been able to take the spoils and eat the spoils of the victory that God had given them. But they walk into the woods. Many of us get clouded by our vision because we walk into something, but somebody has put a word over your life and you're not able to take of the spoils of your past victory. God says, I know how these folks are. I've got to make it fall so that it's on the ground. So that when they walk, they don't even have to work at getting the... They don't even have to work at getting the blessing of overflow. All they got to do is just walk and just grab it. They don't even have to stretch and reach anymore, because they already went through everything they had to go through. Amen. Wow. Amen. We, no? Oh, Lord. I'm going to let y'all rest a little bit, but if it stays heavy like this, no. We're going to break some stuff up. Because, see, the thing that happens is God has been trying to get his people to walk in overflow, walk in their blessings all along. But man gets in the way and puts all kinds of decrees out in the atmosphere. Oh, this isn't your year to be celebrating with what God has given you. It's not your year. You got too much sin in your life. You talking to me? You telling me I can't eat what God has provided for me? Watch this. If you actually read this particular story, Lord. They're walking. Jonathan, oh, looky here. Look here. Who wants to be Saul? Who wants to be Saul? Come on. Someone. Get up, Lionel. Thank you. I appreciate that enthusiasm. Thank you, sir. That's why your blessing is going to come and find you that way. That's why. Now watch this. Saul gives out a decree. Who wants to be near Saul right now? Come on, quickly. Come on. Let's go. All right. See, watch this. Saul had to issue something, and it had to be received by somebody. Okay, y'all want me to preach and not teach? No, some of y'all need to learn some things. Somebody had to receive the decree and say yes in order for it to be in effect. Now watch this. You say, no, but he's a king. Whatever he says goes. Put it in reverse and back it up a bit. You stay right there. In 1 Samuel 13, I'm going to paraphrase. You don't have to go there. In 1 Samuel 13, watch this. Because Samuel was doing something he wasn't supposed to do, he acted in a position that he wasn't anointed to be in. He acted as a high priest because the high priest hadn't arrived yet, or the prophet hadn't arrived yet, and he got scared that people weren't going to follow. In his fear, he stepped into a role he should have never stepped into. And when he did this, watch this. The prophet Samuel walks up and says, what did you do? Well, you weren't here. And the high priest didn't come, and I was losing the people. So I made an offering to the Lord so he would give us the victory in this battle. Watch this. Samuel says, oh, because of what you did, God has found another. God has found another to reign in your stead. Watch this. He had gotten fired. Fired. He was. Oh. His authority was no longer of the king. But he kept acting and being in that position on a throne that was no longer anointed for him to be in. So when that decree went out, somebody had to agree with the decree. So it says the people were in fear. Right? So now watch this. Now they're walking. Walk towards that wall over there and stand over there, please. Now, who wants to be Jonathan and his famous armor bearer? All right, come on here, Jonathan. Come on. Armor bearer. I need the armor bearer. Armor bearer. Armor bearer. Come on. Run, run, run. Come on. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Oh, if I'd have told you that I got your winning Powerball number, y'all would all jumped up. Y'all would all jumped up real quick. Me, Pastor, me. Now watch this. Jonathan and his no name armor bearer, no name, no title, and there is no indication that the armor bearer knew anything other than what was said. Who's the armor bearer? I'll do what is in your heart. Whatever's in your heart to do and you purpose to do, I'm with you. Okay? No name. Not after notoriety. Not much is ever said about the armor bearer. Ever. Ever. Do you know what an armor bearer does? A little quick side note study for you for free. You know what an armor bearer really does? Really want to know? Put your hands up, sir. Put your hands up. Wash his hands. Wash his hands from just doing the poo-poo. The armor bearer is the lowest position that requires someone to be faithful unto the man that he serves. Are you hearing me? Not for position, not for anything else, but he's faithful. He's knitted at the heart. So now Jonathan and his armor bearer are there, and they're getting ready to go up to go and fight over the garrison to fight these Philistines. Okay? If you read on. So what happens is they go across and they call out to the Philistines. They don't even know if God's going to give them victory. He just says, if they call us to come up, God's giving them to us, so let's just go. He says, whatever's in your heart to do, I'll do. I follow you. So they go up and they kill 20 men themselves. Kill them. Now they're coming down from that victory. They didn't hear the decree of the Father. So now they're walking in. The people already walked through the forest. And now as they're walking into the forest themselves, they see the honey. The son of Saul, Jonathan, has his staff. Authority. Picks up the honeycomb, gets the honey, and eats it. You don't read about anybody else doing it but Jonathan. So then someone that was lingering, because there's always somebody watching. There's always somebody wanting to get you caught in trouble. There's somebody always hiding in the background in the third, fourth row of the church. They're counting the seats. If you guys are on podcast, they're counting the seats. Is it me, Lord? No, listen. And there's somebody always watching to see who's going to mess up. And can you imagine it's Pastor's son, Saul's son. Is it a bit too close? No, I think so. Saul's son is the one that did what Daddy said we weren't supposed to do. So, but when he does it, his eyes, the Bible says his eyes were enlightened. They were open. He got life back in him. Oh. Now, the people following after the king were following after him, and they fought, and they won, and God gave them the spoils. But because he, Saul, was after vengeance. Vengeance. Whose vengeance is it really? The Lord's. Where did he put himself in? In a position that he should have never put himself in, right? Are you seeing this? Oh, that's a good story. How many of you put yourself in that position? Lord, I can't stand this individual. If you would just go ahead and just get them and deal with them, Lord, because you know right now you're the best one that could deal with them. I'm not going to deal with them, but Lord, you got to get them. Yep. You know how we do? Yeah. Oh, they've been talking about my kids a little bit too much now. Get them, God. Touch not my anointed. You know how we all do. We try to put up scripture on everything. It says, don't forget that God knows that I can take care of this better than ever you can. Ever, 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 ever could. Amen. Right? So the one that was watching, oh, look at, look at, look at. Oh, so, oh, you don't mess up. What? Charlie, this is it. Woo! Oh, hombre, he's in trouble now. Ooh, wee. Mira, mira, ven pa' acá. Hijo. You don't even know. You don't know. You don't even know that your daddy said, whoever eats will be cursed. Pretty bad, right? So, you know, do you read what Jonathan said? What does it say? Huh? Trouble for us all. Who created it? Uh-oh. Watch this. What did Jonathan say? You see the trouble that my father has created for us all? See, if it today, that would be how children probably would respond. Back in this day? Don't you dare. Mira.
The finger.
They give you the look, that's it. You already start crying. But what? Wait a minute. This is back in the day where reverence was already issued to a king and a father. Reverence was there. But what he knew was something because his eyes had been enlightened. That was only given by God. So now they come together. They bring, because sister so-and-so from the church said, mira, you got to come with me because you already sinned. Mira, ven pa' acá, mira, ya. Pulling them by the ears like that. Get over here. Watch this. So, mira, I was making sure everybody made it. Pero tu hijo. Translation, your son. He ate the honey. Pues mira, yo también. Ay, ¿cómo vas a hacer eso? Translation, I know, unbelievable. Why would you do something like that? So then Saul gets mad and says, let God deal with us and judge with us. And wherever the lots fall, it falls. Who has eaten and who has done wrong? It falls on him and he says, why have you done such a thing? Why? If you read on the rest of the story, victories were given and victories were lost. Here's the reason why they won. The son. Do you understand? When someone wants to go and do something out of bitterness, why was Saul bitter? I just showed you how when he was in with Samuel doing something he wasn't supposed to do. Watch this. He was stripped of his authority, the kingdom, and his position. He was already bitter. He was already angry. And he put that on the generation to follow. You see that? Now, on this particular battle, when they just finished, they were in the woods and he ate of the honey. They go and fight another battle. And guess what happens? Watch what the people do. After the battle that they win, they get the spoil and they start killing the cattle, killing the goats and all that. And they start eating the meat with the blood in it. How's that? Yeah. Okay. Now, the Levitical law says you can't do that. You can't do that. So then here we go again. Watch what Saul does again. He does exactly again what he did to lose the kingdom. He does it again. He calls them to all the people to bring all their cattle, their goats, and everything. We'll make the slaughter here, and I'll build the altar, and I'll accept the slaughter. He repeats the same thing that he did to lose the kingdom. Isn't that something? When you carry bitterness with you into your battles and God gives you victory, the bitterness will overtake the sweetness of your victory. Gentlemen, thank you very much. You may be seated. I titled this message, "This is my sweet 16 year." My sweet 16. Now, Saul wanted to do great things. He was after the things of God for a minute. But he lost so much because he tried to do something that he wasn't anointed to do. In 2016, we can't be entering into a new year with bitterness. We can't be entering a new year with all kinds of malice, unforgiveness. Come on. We can't be entering into a place that God has for us where he wants to bless us and continue to hold on to things that have kept us from enjoying the spoils of our past victories. God wants us to see the perpetual blessings that he has for his children, that as long as we walk in obedience and walk after the things that he has for us, then what he'll do is always provide for us, that we don't have to stretch up to get the honey. He makes it fall on the ground. Now, didn't he say in Exodus that I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey? All right now. The milk and honey is for us. The honey is for us to be enlightened by the Word of God. See, the Word of God is going to show us new things, but it will reveal old things in us. We can declare, decree, and I receive, and I continue to believe that I'm going to get my breakthrough. But the reality is, God wants to deal with some issues in us now. He still give you victory, but you're going to continue to pass over the very thing that he's given you in your victory and your spoils, and you won't partake of it because you've been bitter over the past hurts, the past disappointments, the past setbacks, and the things that kept you from achieving what you wanted to get. And we'll walk in that. You see, that forest represented the things. How many of you have been in a place that you can't see clearly through the trees? Because there's something that obstructs your view. There is something there that is keeping you to achieve what he has for you. But what he's telling us to do is, as you walk in the path that I have ordered for you, always remember what I brought you through. Look back and see that Jesus Christ was sent from the Father here on earth in human form. For what? So that he can be the sacrifice for sin. The judgment of sin. I came, Jesus, I came so that I can give you life and give it more abundantly. I came so that I can take the penalty of sin and take me to the cross. But watch this. When he was on the cross, he thirsted. And when he thirsted, what did they give him? They give him the hyssop, the vinegar. And what does that mean? Is that the moment that it touched his lips, it broke off the generational curses once and for all off the life of the people that them didn't believe. You see, God's been trying to break generational curses off the people, but they stay in a mindset even though it's been broken. And if we don't change a mindset, we continue to walk and pass failures. But he's given us the victory already at the cross. But we walk like, oh, daddy left me. Mama left me. Mama said I would never amount to nothing. Daddy said that I would be no good for nothing. That I would always be poor because I was lazy. Whatever the case may be, we carry these word curses on us like Saul put a curse on the people. We carry it with us and we walk into battles already defeated in our mind. I don't know about you, but this is my sweet 16. My year of 2016, oh, I'm going to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm going to remember the victory that he's given me already. I'm going to remember everything that he's already done for me. The little things that I prayed for and he came through, I'm going to keep on praying and asking God, come through on my behalf. I trust you, I trust you, I trust you, no matter what it looks like. We're going to walk this thing out. We're going to walk it out. Why are we going to walk it out? Because he's done away with the curse already. The curses have been removed. But unless we renew our mind and get a new learned behavior. We will always be the children of God walking around in bitterness when he's already provided the fruit of the land. He's been trying to get us to cross over. How many of you have seen some folks in your life that have crossed over and got their breakthrough? Raise your hands. Matter of fact, stand up. Stand up. You've seen somebody get their breakthrough. They're there and you're still fighting for yours. Yeah? Sometimes it seems like they're waving at you. Hello. Hello. I made it. Hello. I made it. Hello. You can get here too. Just let go of that bitterness. You can get here too. Just let go of the unforgiveness. You can get here too if you just let go of your past failures. You can get here too if you just trust me in this. Yeah, I've made you a new creature, but you see, the thing is, we're holding on to our own identity. We're holding on to things that we think that we don't have the right to accomplish. But the reality, God wants to get you to the other side. The other side. What is that other side? The other side is that place where you haven't even entered in, you haven't even stepped in, you haven't even tasted the fullness of victory yet. You see, you get a couple of defeats here and there, and you think, that's it, I've lost the battle. You may have lost the fight around, but it ain't over. No, it's not over. I'm guaranteeing you one thing. If we don't renew our minds and create new behaviors, so that we can change, we'll just continue being the same people, declaring the same thing, not seeing the results because we've been bitter. See, Saul put a curse over the people of God. But it was a generation that understood the vision. I'm going to go fight these Philistines. It may be just me and you, Mr. No Name, but we're going to win. I don't know if God is telling us to fight this battle or not, but I know that there is a purpose why I'm here. It's to drive out these Philistines. The Bible calls them these uncircumcised Philistines. So when you read Philistines in the Word, it has to do with the fleshy issues that always come against you. See, we must cut away of the flesh. We've got to do away with this fleshy issue. Y'all don't want to hear this. You see, we can get to church on a Sunday because it's a Sabbath day. Heaven forbid we have to go midweek. Heaven forbid that if we're required to go do more than just meeting. God's trying to get us further and further to what they did back in the day. They would meet in people's houses, break bread, get into the Word of God. Miracles, signs, and wonders would show up there. But no, we get into this church age and we think that all the signs, wonders, and miracles are only going to happen in a church house. I said, no. Watching a football game yesterday. And they're out there on the field. It's cold. And it starts to rain. Did they stop the game? Did the fans leave? No, they sure didn't leave. The fans are so fanatic for what they're after and what they believe and who their team is. They'll stand in the rain, the cold, the snow, the sleet, everything for what they believe in. But their team is not going to bring them victory in their walk or in their life. They're just there as a spectator. And we've been in the church atmosphere as spectators for too long. We have got to finally make a stand and say, I'm not going to spectate anymore. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to deal with the fleshy issues of my life. I'm not going to worry about the flesh in others' life. I'm going to deal with the flesh in my life. So I can make change. So that when I walk and I see honey falling from heaven, I will dip the rod of authority and I will bring it to my mouth and I will eat. I will taste and see that my victory came from him, not from me. And I will rely on him at all times. I will always look back and say, if it wasn't for you on my side, I wouldn't be where I am today. See, the trick of the enemy is to get you to give up now before you even get over. God spoke to Joshua. He says, I want you to prepare your food, your provisions, for in 3 days you're about to cross over into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. You see, what he said is you're about to go someplace that is going to require you to put the good things into your mouth. What are you eating? Are you eating the word of God? Are you, oh my God, or are you eating the sloppy seconds that are falling from the ground because you got to go everywhere else to chase a prophet, to chase the greatest ministry that is out there, but you're not going after God for him to feed you directly? What is the next word that I got to hear? We need to hear the word from God for ourselves. We got to put the good things in our mouth. It requires us to work and get the word in us. You can't eat unless you open your mouth. And for those of you who think, well, I pray a lot. Hey, you can pray all you want, but unless you get that word in you, you're not going to pray what his will is. You're going to pray amiss. The disciples were with him for 3.5 years. Finally, he tells them, you know what? You've been praying amiss. Let me teach you how to pray. They had to learn something new. Even though they were with Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. They were with him. He says, you're still missing it. Let me show you. And what I love about it is I read through Jesus' encounters with his disciples. I love this. I love this. When he called his disciples, the first ones that he called were what? What was their occupation? Fishermen. How many of you have fished in your life? How many of you have smelt fish on somebody's hands? It smells. Oh, it's stanky. Did he say to them, go home, wash yourself, change your clothes, make yourself look presentable before you follow me? No. He says, come and follow me as you are. See, we got people nowadays, they don't want to go to church. Oh, when I get things right with God, I'll be in church. Woo. You don't even know that you can get hit by a car and die today. You don't know what your tomorrow holds. You don't even know what's going to happen when you leave the church today. So if your heart ain't right with God right now, oh, now's a good time. Say, Lord, come on in. Come on in, God. Open. Come in. Come in, God. You don't know what can happen in this next minute of life. He's not looking for you to come when you're right. He came for the sick. He came for the wounded. He came for those that had not an understanding of where they were going. He came for the lost. This is going to help somebody here. You've got to know what God has called you to do and who you're supposed to reach. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. I'll say it again. Not everybody is called to be a pastor, a shepherd. But everybody wants to start preaching from the pulpit. I'm going to preach. You better bring good news. You better tell the goodness of God. Because the reality is, what you speak, you're held accountable for. Ain't too many people playing around up here, everywhere. Playing around like I'm going to preach this thing, but have the attitude like they haven't been forgiven much. Get attitude and get cocky, arrogant. This is my place. It's his house. He's the head of the church. He is. I believe in 2016, in order for us to get the fruit, we're going to see some stripping take place. Because when I went to reach for my banana, mama, I couldn't bite through the skin. I had to remove the outer layers of skin to get to the fruit. And when I got to the fruit, it was sweet and good and tasty for me. I just can't eat the skin. I got to get rid of the skin. I got to peel it away so that I can eat the fruit that is within. You're not going to just get fruit dropped in your lap. Get to that place you can say, Lord, if there's anything within me that is unpleasing unto you, reveal unto me so that I can give it to you. I can work out my deliverance and walk it out with fear and trembling with you. We can't be walking around thinking that all of this is just going to happen. I read in when they were in the desert, the Israelites, they got fed up with the manna. They got fed up with the supernatural power of God dispersing the food for them. That they cried. Is there not any meat? What were they asking for? Is there not any flesh that we can devour? Is there not any flesh that we can eat? Because we're so used to our flesh. We're not used to having this holy bread give some flesh in our system again. Says so you got to get out of your house to go and get what I have for you. Many people want to stay in their house, click, click, watch TV and watch the next evangelist, the next prophet, and somebody be asking for the next, there's going to be 100 people giving $1,000 seeds for their supernatural first fruit breakthrough. Shut your lying mouth. Your breakthrough comes when you get out your house, forsake not the assembling of God with the saints of God in the house of God. And you bring all your tithes unto the storehouse. Everybody wants to say, but now with technology, all I have to do is get on my iPad and I can follow the podcast and follow T.D. Jakes and follow somebody else and start tithing to them. Let me tell you how it is. You want to follow a ministry because of the way they preach, what they have, the insights they have. The only way you get what is given is through impartation. That impartation comes by the laying on of hands. We want to watch everything from the comfort of our home. Never be challenged what was just given to us to eat. The last I checked, when I put something in my mouth, I have a responsibility to chew. And that I must digest. It's going to get worse. Because after I digest, there's going to be some. But if you ain't releasing what God has given you, all you're doing is getting stopped up and being constipated. And you ain't giving what God has given you to give. You're staying in your home getting fat on the word of God and not being challenged for it to come forth. That's why you got to get in church. So that you can be challenged with the word that has come. That's when you know you got a real word from God. Ain't nobody want to get challenged no more. Ain't nobody want to be told. Ain't nobody want to be told no more. No. Ain't nobody going to share with me anything that I already know that God is dealing with me. If he's been dealing with you for 15 years, don't you think it's something in you that doesn't allow you to get delivered? It don't take 15 years, baby. It takes one thing. Yes, Lord. Surrender. And he'll do it. But what happens is we get in church. And we want to hide in the church. We want to hide. Have you ever tried to hide in the church? Yeah, you know, the big one, not here, because he'll find you. He'll make me find you. He'll make me. Go get him. Go get him, Mark. Go get him. They don't want it. Go get him. Bam, then he speaks. But they want to go to a big church so they can hide in the upper balconies. And they can hide. They can come in late when they want to. And then right when it's time to take the offering. Or this is how the old school does it. Y'all know what that means, right? Excuse me, I'm going number one. That's what that means. That's what that means. Excuse me, I'm going to go number one. I'll be right back. Lord Jesus. We haven't even finished praying for the people, and people are leaving already. And not only are they leaving, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Excuse me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Excuse me. Don't disrupt the move of God in their life just because they got to get somewhere with their suitcase. And their leopard skin. Bless God. Oh, service was good, Pastor. No, we make all kinds of mess. I'm sorry, whoever's that. I'm sorry. Lord, gee, that's why you're so strong, girl. We disrupt the flow of God in people's lives because we're quick to get out because we don't want to be seen with our mess. You just learn to be still. No, but if it'd been at your job, your J-O-B where you work, you'd have been on time at job. You'd have been on time and finished on time with what you had to do. And you couldn't leave until it was your time to leave. But in the church, church starts at 10 o'clock. We get there at 10:45 because we don't like the music. Yeah, we know what you were listening to in your car. Ain't nothing but bump and grind. Pastor, why are you all up in my Kool-Aid? Why you gotta make fun of me like that? I ain't making fun of you. I did it too. Everything that I'm just doing in this house, I used to do. Babe, I'm tired of going to places and they pick us out as leaders. They always prophesy to us. Let's just go sit in the back. And we'll just go late so nobody sees. And we'll just sit there. And then right before it's over, we'll leave. How many times have we done that? And right as we're getting ready to get up, she's getting her purse. Excuse me, the both of you stand up, please, right where you're at. They can see us. He's not talking to us. Come on, man. He ain't talking to us. Let's go. Yes, you, sir. Ahí pues, mire, Dios está. And then I release a word, and my God. But you see, we're so quick to get out that we miss our blessing. We want things to be the way we want it to be. And we never cross over to the other side. And then we hear a song. Josh, give me that last song. Give me that last song. We hear a song sung. This made me think of this. Other people have got there. Turn it up.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
from the other side. You see, God wants us to cross over. He wants us to get to the other side. He says, I've been calling on you, but you don't answer. I remember our youth together. When we used to spend time together. We used to be in that place where I would come and walk with you in the garden. We used to spend time in fellowship together. But now you've drifted so far away that I've moved on. And you're still staying on the other side in your bondage. You're staying through your hurts and your pains. But I have freedom on the other side for you. But you're so comfortable in your current situation that you don't want to cross over to the other side. You've been eating things that have kept you from eating the good of the land. You've been seeking after things that give you comfort now, but doesn't give you strength to get you to the other side. You eat things that you seek after that are not healthy for you, but the things that I have for you are my words, and to fast and to pray, to spend time in fellowship with me, to get you over to your other side. And now I'm calling on you, but you won't answer. I'm trying to get you past your hurts and your pains, trying to get you to a place that will bring you to a better place. But because of your fear, I can only call from the other side. Are you willing to cross to the other side? Then we got to let God get in that very place. See, when that song began to play, some of you that know me know that God can use anything. Anything. Others that I felt, I can't believe he's playing a secular song. Let me tell you something. If God himself can tell unto Moses, when Moses asks, who do I tell Pharaoh is the one that is saying this? He says, tell him I am that I am. I will be what you want me to be to get it across to you who I am. And I will manifest myself on every single one of your gods to show you that I'm God. I will do everything to prove to you that I am in everything. I have created all things here on earth, and I am the creator, and you are my creation. And what I decide to use and do in the very thing that I'm saying to get to my people, to get to the other side, I will use. A religious spirit keeps people also bound. It keeps them in a place that they can never cross over. It keeps them in that place that because you got sin, you'll never get to your promise. God said, when Adam fell, I came looking for him. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? I come to spend time with you in the place where we can meet together again. I don't care if you have fallen. I'm here to walk with you. You are mine and mine alone. I created you. I made you in my image. You are spirit. Your flesh will die, but your spirit will live on forever in me. If I gotta preach this myself, then I will preach myself, because my flesh will die, but my spirit will live on forever. I will move on with God. I will cross over to the other side. And I will look and say, I'm not going to be who I used to be. I'm not going to stay like this. I've got to get to the other side. I got to put goodness inside of me so that I can eat the fruit of the land. My harvest is now. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. He's not going to steal my labor and my fruit of my labor. He's not going to steal my seed. He's not going to take my wife. He's not going to take my children. He's not going to take my house. He's not going to take my ministry. He's not going to take my call, my gifting, my purpose. I will celebrate my victories. I will celebrate them. I will walk in them. And I will eat of the land and say, God, you have given me victory. You have given me victory. And I will eat of it, even in my transition. I will eat of my blessing from my victory. Walk in it. Walk in your deliverance. Walk in the fullness of who God is. Don't let him keep you there. Don't let that devil keep you by lying to you with a religious mindset that you can't get what God has for you because you're not right. Let me remind you, it is not your righteousness, for they are like filthy rags before his sight. It is his righteousness. It is our responsibility to walk in the principles that he has given to us. And we've got to walk it and walk it out with fear and trembling unto him, not man. Are you hearing me? Come on now, come on, come on. You got to feel this now in your spirit. Don't try to figure it out in your mind. How many of you want to look back and say, hello, from the other side? And look at your old self and say, I used to be there. You used to have me. I used to be bound. How many of you want to say from the other side, I've been loosed. I've been free. Because Jesus came to set me free. But I ain't going to look back and say, oh, someday I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm in my breakthrough right now. I'm in it now. Come on. Yes. That's it. Look, the shofar has sounded. The alarm has been sounded. See, not everybody will hear it, but those that hear it will respond to it. When that horn sounds, it's the horn of salvation. It's the horn of victory. It is the horn. of redemption. You're not who you used to be. Come on, Jeff. One more time, Jeff. Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. Oh, I feel it right now. See, someone's getting delivered right now. Someone's getting delivered of their generational curse. Somebody's getting delivered of the word curses that have been over in their life. And they saying, ain't going to happen past me no more. I'm taking back my children. I'm taking back my lineage. I'm taking back what God has given me that the enemy tried to steal. I'm taking it back. For it is mine. You can't have it, devil. Woo! See, the enemy tried to take your land, your promise. He tried to take your territory. He tried to take things that would cause you to have your promise manifested. He tried to take your health. He tried to take your mind. He tried to take your marriage. He tried to take your children. He tried to take your ministry. He tried to take your business. Huh. But you see, there's one thing that he didn't take and he can't take, is he can't take the revelation of his word, because once you receive it, you have achieved it. It cannot be taken from you. You've got to stand knowing who you are, that you are walking in the fullness of God, and he has called you to greatness, he has called you to victory, and he has called you to go up and over. You are not the tail, you are the head. You are not the borrower, you are the lender. Hallelujah! Woo! Woo! My, my, my! Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, lift up your hands unto the Lord. Lift them up unto the Lord. Come on. I surrender myself unto you, Lord. I surrender myself unto you. Lord, in this very hour, in this very season of my life, Lord, I just thank you that you reveal truth. It is the truth that sets me free. It is the truth that sets me free. Whatever lie the enemy has planted within my soul, within my mind, Father, we uproot it right now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for the authority and the power that you've given unto us this day, the day that you have caused us to have victory. Because in that day, what is that day? It is that day that the Lord had given you victory is that day that you are to remember. It is that day that you remember that he has brought you through something that you can look back in a memorial and say, if he did it for me once, he will do it for me again. You have got to see that God is not a respecter of persons. If you're seeing somebody on the other side waving because they got their breakthrough, just remember, wave back because you're about to get yours. If he did it for one, he'll do it for you. You've got to walk through this thing and know that God has called you for greatness. You are destined for greatness. In your hardship is to only make you stronger in your walk in him. You're about to see that God is the releaser. He's going to release you out of your bondage. He is going to remove the chains. He's going to remove the yokes and destroy it. For he is the anointed one. Now, Father, right now, in the precious name of our Lord, I release your anointing right now over the lives of your people. That everything that is deep inside of them, God, that they know not of, we just right now take authority over it now in Jesus' mighty name. And we uproot it now. We uproot it now. And, Father, I thank you for every rejection and every abandonment. Lord, we put acceptance right now, the seed of acceptance within them. For those that carry unforgiveness right now, Father, we uproot it now in the name of Jesus, that they forgive those that they hold this offense against, to loose them into their destiny. The forgiveness is there. The ex-husband, the ex-wife, all the exes that have come in, all the soul ties that need to be broken, we break them now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now that what you're doing, my God, is what Jesus did in the temple. He cleansed the temple by turning over the money tables. And he drove them out of the temple. What he's saying, I'm getting rid of the things that have infiltrated the temple, that have kept you bound in the things of mammon and flesh. Your prosperity comes unto you in Jesus. Now, Father, I just release right now that in this year, this will be the sweet 16. 2016 will be sweet like honey. It'll drip like honey from their mouth. They will speak of the goodness of the Lord. They will walk and begin to declare the goodness of God. They will no longer hold on to the negativity. They will no longer hold on to their pain. They will no longer hold on to their setbacks. They will no longer hold on to the words that have been spoken over their life. They will let it go. And Father, they will just take and eat what you've already given them. The fruit of the land. We cross over to the other side. We cross over to the other side. Ah, I heard that. Thank you. Father, I thank you right now that the missions account will be full. That the account will be full to send missionary work, Father God, to go into all the distant lands. Father, I thank you that supernaturally that you will fill it, God. You will fill it, Lord, so that out of this house we can send missionaries to go do the work of the Lord in foreign countries, Lord. We thank you, God, that we will stand on platforms that you have already ordained before the foundations of this earth, that we will walk on the platforms, declare the goodness of God. We will declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And Father, that the captives will be set free, and those that will come under the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ will surrender and convert unto you, O God, and they will be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they will be the witnesses unto you and to all parts of this world. Father, I thank you that we are equipping and we're sending, God, that we are now in the apostolic era right now, Father, that we will send those, Father God, into distant lands. Send those into the highways, the byways, Father God, into this region, into other regions, into this nation, into other nations, to other continents, God. We will send them. Now, Father, I open up the account for the missions, God. Fill it, God. Fill it! So that we can send your people to do the very work that you call them to do. Father, I thank you for it now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. We receive it because you declare it, God. We have not because we ask not. Now, Father, I ask of you, O God, to fill it. I believe that it's already done. I believe that it is so. God, I thank you for the manifestation of it now. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. God, I thank you that you have sounded your alarm. And your people who are called by your name have heard the sound of the ram's horn. And I thank you, God, for the paradigm shift. Thank you for the shift that has taken place, oh God, in the body of Christ. And Lord, we're grateful that we're a part of it. I thank you that the manifestation of your word and your promise, God, is true. Yes, we have a responsibility to act upon and be obedient, Lord. Let us open our mouth. Eat of the good things of God. Eat the word of God so that we can taste and observe, see that you are good. Father, we thank you for it now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. As the word has gone forth today, then it penetrates the hearts and minds of your people. And Lord, I just thank you that a generation that is up and coming, Lord, will be a generation that will say, I'm after my Father's business. I'm after my Father's business. I will do the things that God says to do. And that everywhere that I walk, the soles of my feet touch becomes holy ground. We will take back the land. We will take back territories. And we will give all honor and glory for the victory and the spoil that has been coming from you, Lord. We will take back the spoil of the land. Father, we will take back government offices. We will take back the office, Father God, over this great nation. You will put in place in whom you see fit. But we as a body of Christ have a responsibility to go and vote. Father, that we vote our convictions, not with our head, but our conviction. So, Father, I thank you right now that you begin to even rally the people together, God. That there is a sound that is coming forth out of San Antonio, Texas. That there is about to be a move of the Spirit of God that will draw all men into the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. That you will pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. That even those that do not know your name will begin to prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus. They will have the understanding that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And he is not a dead God. He's a risen Savior that sits at the right hand of the Father God in heaven, interceding for the saints of God to continue the good work, the good work, the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you for the equipment today. And I thank you that today we send them out, oh God, to do that very work in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Y'all haven't stopped the recording, go ahead and stop it.